what I have prepared for today is a combination of a number of different mamorim. I tried to send them, they didn't all go through, but thank God at least David was able to get to one of them. And all this is that, you know, I'm in so many different locations, and in many places I don't have access to a computer. What we're going to start with is the Shvilei Pinchas. And I've mentioned many times that I've become quite enamored with the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas by Rav Pinchas Friedman. Yesterday, I actually gave a shiur based on a different essay from the same author, and the theme was Yira Shamayim, that somehow on Rosh Hashanah, we are inspired with Yira Shamayim, and that Yira Shamayim is inherent in a message at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, and that hence led us to the connection between Parshas Nitzavim as a wedge between Parshas Ki Tavo and the Klolos and Rosh Hashanah. So that was the subject of yesterday. I'm just mentioning it at the outset. Once again, we're getting back to the basics. What is the connection between this parasha of Nitzavim and the month of Elul, the preparation for Rosh Hashanah? All this is based on the Gemara at the end of Megillah, that Ezra organized the Kriyas HaTorah connected to the Hebrew calendar year. There's nothing coincidental. And in this case, Klal Yisrael accepted the minhag that we read the Klolos before Rosh Hashanah, but we don't go straight from the Klolos into Rosh Hashanah. There's a wedge in between, so to speak, a protective barrier, which is called Nitzavim. In this case, which is very particular to this year, we have Nitzavim and Vayelech, so perhaps we can find a connection between Nitzavim and Vayelech, merging them, as it will, as a connector between these days of Elul and Rosh Hashanah. Now, the first point that we make, which is apparently widely known in the literature, I mean, he gives a whole list of who's who, all of whom came up with the same idea, and that is that the word Atem Nitzavim Hayom, the emphasis on the word Hayom, is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. And this is based on a Zohar. The pasuk that the Zohar is interpreting is at the beginning of Eov. And at the beginning of Eov, there's a conference that takes place up in Shamayim between the Malachim and the Satan, all in front of Hashem. And the pasuk says, Vayehi Hayom. And the word Hayom, says the Zohar, is an allusion to Rosh Hashanah. So when you talk about Yom, Yom could be any day of the year. But when you talk about Hayom with a Hey Ayidia, at least according to the Zohar, the Hayom singles out and identifies Rosh Hashanah. And therefore we get back to Parshas Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. That Hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Now, the next word in the pasuk after Hayom is Kulchem. And then it's Lifnei Hashem Elokeich. The Kulchem indicates that all of Klal Yisrael gathered together. That's called Achdus. And he quotes the pasuk that says, the statement in Chazal that says, Ki ish echad b'lev echad. We identify that with the Aseres HaDibros, with Kabbalas HaTorah. We'll get back to that in just a minute. But there's a connection apparently between the Kulchem of Aseres HaDibros and the Kulchem here of Rosh Hashanah. Meaning if Parshas Nitzavim, Hayom, represents Rosh Hashanah, then Rosh Hashanah, which means Yom HaDin, the day in which we want to be Zoche B'din, is the day of Kulchem. Of Kulchem meaning Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. And we want to understand where that's indicated in the Psukim. And he says something absolutely fantastic. That if you look in the pasuk, you will see that there are a number of different headings, if you will, or descriptions of categories of Jews here. And let's count the number. The pasuk starts with Rasheichem. Okay, that's number one. Shivteichem is number two. Ziknechem is number three. Shotreichem, four. Kol Ish Yisrael is number five. And that forms one group of five. And then we go on to Tapchem, which is six, Nesheichem, seven, Gercha, Sheva, Kerem, Machnecha, and that's going to be 8, and then Chotev Eitzecha 9, and then Shoev Memecha 10. So we have two groups of 5 each, totally 10. And this is the Kulchem. This represents 10 different groups of Jewish people, of categories of Jews, that all unite together and function as an organism together, helping each other as one. And they create the Kulchem of Rosh Hashanah. Now, what we want to get to, but again, I don't want to start with it now, I want to get to it later, is that Rosh Hashanah is the day of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us in this day to be Mamlechim. And Malchus Shamayim has to be a collective endeavor, an enterprise in which the entire collective body of Klal Yisrael, with all its 10 different representative categories and types of people, all gather together, and they are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the key of keys. In order to set up Rosh Hashanah as the day of Hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need all the Jews represented, all the categories and groups of Jews. But now, he goes a step further. And he says that the number 10 here, which is indicated at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, and connects us with the Kulchem of Hayom of Rosh Hashanah, that 10 corresponds to the number 10 of the Aseres HaDibros, which are also divided into two sections of 5 each. On the right side, we have 5 Dibros, which are called Bein Adam LeMakom, and then on the left side, we have another 5 Dibros, which are called Bein Adam LeChavero. And the Zohar goes as far as to say that these 10 groups of Klal Yisrael really correspond to the 10 Dibros. And he goes even a step further than that. The Aseres HaDibros, which are broken down into two parts, they correspond to the Asara Mamoros Shenivra Ba'olam. And this is based on Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's famous principle that Bara Istakel Baraisa Bara Alma, the Torah becomes the blueprint for all of creation. And the Torah was given in 10 different categories, which are the Aseres HaDibros. Each category represents a different sector, if you will, of creation. And now, on Rosh Hashanah, what we need is, we have to, in a sense, duplicate, or reactivate, if I can use that term, the Asara Mamor Shenivra Ba'olam. In other words, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Haras Olam. This is the day of creation. And every year, it's built into the system, the divine system, that we recreate the world. And how do we recreate the world? With this number 10. It was the number 10 that represented the Asara Mamoros. Each one of those Mamoros creates a different part of the universe. The blueprint for those 10 different parts of the universe is the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros. And now, the Jewish people, as a whole, as an Achdus, representing 10 different groups of people, Kulchem, are going to recreate the world, as it were. Because the Asara groups, these 10 groups of Klal Yisrael, corresponding to the 10 Aseres HaDibros, each group has its sort of sector of the universe, its segment of the universe that's creating, and is an entire process of recreating the world. And the reason why that's absolutely critical to recreate the world, why isn't it enough that God created the world once? Why does it have to be recreated annually? And I think the answer is, perhaps, what we call in computer language the reset button. We need a reset button. Why? Because during the course of the year, unfortunately, we are guilty of sin, and chet is pogem. Chet somehow contaminates the world, and it contaminates the Asara Mamoros Shenivra Ba'olam, meaning those Asara Mamoros were pure, and the universe that God created as a result of the Asara utterances was a pure universe, pure meaning pure of sin. But now God gives us freedom of choice, and He gives those Asara Mamoros over to Klal Yisrael. Now we're in the driver's seat, so to speak, and when we abuse those Asara Mamoros, what we're doing is we are having an absolutely corruptive and destructive impact on the universe that was created with the Asara Mamoros. So God gives us a tremendous chesed in Rosh Hashanah, and He allows us to start all over again, to go back to the original Aseres HaDibros, which are connected to the Aseres HaMamoros. The Aseres HaDibros is the blueprint, the Torah. The befall now of the Torah dividing up into the 10 is going to be the Aseres HaMamoros Shedivrei Ba'olam, and all the pollution and the corruption in the universe now has to be corrected. And in order to do so, we have to reset and go back to the original Aseres HaMamoros Shedivrei Ba'olam. And how do we do so? So if you take a look at the Sfas Emes, which again, if you have the left column of page 1, this was the famous drasha of the great Hasidic giant, the Rebbe of Ger, back in the year Tafresh Samach Beis, which is just over a century ago, his Tshuva drasha, where he was Machadish, an unbelievable Chiddush that has reverberated throughout the Hasidic world to this day, that God gives us Tshuva. And Tshuva is our ability to reset, to recreate the world, like an Etch-a-Sketch, you know, to erase the world and recreate it. The purpose of God's creation is really inherent in Tshuva. Tshuva is one of the things that was created before the world. Right? Tshuva is Kodem Shenivrolam. Anything that's before Nivrolam is the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is not just creation itself, but to have a sort of alternate possibility of how to create the world. And the other way of creating the world is through tshuva. And there are 10 days of tshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah, ending with Yom Kippur. Those 10 days of tshuva, says the Sfas Emes, correspond to the Asara Mamoros Shenivro Ba'olam. And that gives man the ability during these 10 days of tshuva to, so to speak, reset and recreate and activate the Asara Mamoros Shenivro Ba'olam. So it's as if each day of the Aseres Metshuva corresponds to a different one of the Aseres Mamoros. And as we said before, the Aseres Mamoros indicate a segment. Each one, respectively, is a segment of the universe. And that is a pure universe created by the Aseres Mamoros, by the Word of God, by the Maamar Elokim. And now, as a result of man's corruption, we need a possibility of recreating the Aseres HaMamoros. And those are the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And if we take advantage of these Aseres Yemei Tshuva, if we're overwhelmed by Yiras Hashem, if the shofar, which as the Rambam points out, is to be Ma'or Yeshenim Chizru B'Tshuva, that's the remez of the shofar, then we begin on the first day of Aseres Yemei Tshuva with a process of recreating the world through tshuva, which is connected to the Aseres Mamoros. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world with Aseres Mamoros, and every Rosh Hashanah there's some sort of a hamshacha, in a sense we draw down the Aseres Mamoros from its high point up in Shamayim, in order to again be mechadish through the Aseres Mamoros the Bria. And this Bria is now a pure Bria, which takes us back to the original Aseres Mamoros, the pure Bria of Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berachman gives us the Aseres Yemei Tshuva from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur. Each day of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we're able to rectify the pagam, the contamination, in one of the Aseres Mamoros, until at the end of this whole process, Salachti Kidvarecha, on Yom Kippur, if we've completed and perfected the process of rectification of Tikkun through Tshuva, we now reach the stage in which we've recreated the world. And so the process begins on Yom Haras Olam on Rosh Hashanah, builds up day by day until we get to the culmination, the apex, on Yom Kippur. And in the words of the Sfas Emes, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippurim were given to man kidei sheyitaken, that we should implement a takana through tshuva of all the pagam that corrupted and contaminated the Aseres Mamoros. And in that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow us to be his partner, so to speak, to be mechadish es habriya shuv. And then when we mechadish the bria, now we have a pure bria, and the shefa that comes from above down through all these, he calls it the tzinoros, again those are Kabbalistic terms, that shefa is a pure shefa that uplifts us, purifies us, lifnei Hashem titaru, and brings us to the state in which we can be zoche b'din. Because what is the purpose of din? The purpose of din is to allow man to recreate the world. The Yom HaDin is not coincidentally the day of creation, because now Hashem is saying, you know what? This judgment is meant to wake you up, shake you up, to do tshuva, to rectify all the corruption in the Aser HaMamoros. And now, Klal Yisrael as a group, as a collective whole, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, representing all these 10 groups that the Pasuk enumerates, now we come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say, you are the Melech, and we're going to dedicate ourselves and commit ourselves to do tshuva. We're going to fix up through these Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the Asar Mamoros Shenivru Ba'olam. And these Asar Mamoros Shenivru Ba'olam, which are the power to create 10 different segments of the universe, that power is generated by the Aseres Hadibros, by the 5 and the 5. And if we had time, we would go through all 10 Aseres Hadibros and see and analyze how each one of the Aseres Hadibros corresponds to a different one of the Asar Mamoros Shenivru Ba'olam. Today we're all going to focus on one of those 10 and to see how God gives us with these Aseres Hadibros the power and the potential to recreate the world in that particular section that corresponds to that particular one of the Aseres Hadibros. And therefore, he says that all forms of existence are included in the Aseres Hadibros. The Aseres Hadibros, and this is something that Rav Sadia Gaon is famous for, is a sort of condensed form of the entire Torah. Meaning that you could analyze the Aseres Hadibros and derive from them the full 613 mitzvahs. So in that sense, the Aseres Hadibros really include the entire universe. And when I say universe, I don't mean the physical universe only, but I mean also the spiritual universe of the, what we call the Olam HaElyon, the higher worlds. Everything is condensed into the Aseres Hadibros, and these represent the various categories of the created world. And now we have to perfect them, rectify them, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, beginning with Hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you turn to page 2, we'll see the following. On page 2, he tells us that if we count down the list of Aseres Hadibros, each one again corresponding to one of the Asar Mamoros Shenivru Ba'olam, and if we count down to number 6, and these correspond to the 10 groups of people of that make up Klal Yisrael, so we're going to see the following. You know, you can create 2 columns, if you will, you know, a kind of a chart, a flow chart. So you'll see that number 6 on the list, which is the first on the right side, on the other column, is Tapchem, your children. And here he asks the following question: Why does the Torah have to designate and single out Tapchem as a separate category? You know, we have Gerim, we have the Nesiim, you know, the Rosheichem, Shivteichem. But why Tapchem? After all, the Pasuk says, Kol Ish Yisrael. And Tapchem is certainly included under Kol Ish Yisrael. So obviously the Kivun, you know, the general direction that he wants to point to, is the significance of our children. And when we talk about children, we talk about educating our children, passing on a spiritual legacy to our children. When we speak about the absolute essence of children, Veishiv Levavos Al Bonin, all of Yadus is about the link in the chain, passing on the tradition from parents to children, children to grandchildren. The greatest enemy amongst the Malchei Yehuda, unfortunately one of our own kings, was Achaz. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin tells us about Achaz, that his whole goal, his whole purpose, his agenda was Lakar Torah MiYisrael. And what was his plan? His plan was to ultimately lock up all the synagogues and all the houses of study, l'nayel batei knesios u'batei midrashos, to prevent the limud Torah of Tashbar, of Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. He knew that the key to Klal Yisrael and its survival was in the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, in the young children. So what did he do? He declared, well, look, Im Ein Gedim Ein Tiyashim, if there are no young goats, there won't be any older goats. Im Ein Tiyashim Ein Son, Im Ein Son Ein Roeh, Vim ein roe ein olam. Omar achas, vim ein ktanim ein talmidim. Vim ein talmidim ein chachomim. Vim ein chachomim ein Torah. Vim ein Torah ein botek nesios ubotim midrashos. Vim ein botek nesios ubotim midrashos. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashresh chinoso ba'olam. This was the plan of this evil, totally evil king of Israel named Achaz, to undermine and completely vitiate the botek nesios ubotim midrashos. And how? By cutting off the children. Because if you don't teach Torah to the children, then forget about Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. And that's number 6 on the list here in Parashas Nitzavim. Now let's take a look at number 6 of the Aseres Hadibros, which I have here. And number 6 is Lo Tirtzach. Wow. Lo Tirtzach is the first in the second category, what we call Ben Adam Lechavera. And he says the following: the Tirtzach concept of murder is the key to life and death. In other words, if you put murder on one extreme, then the other polar extreme is bringing life into the world. Atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kuchem ayom. What is chayim? What is the true definition of life? And why is it the opposite? How is it the opposite of death? Rishayim b'chayim kriyim mason. If a person is responsible for rishus in this world, if he's mashpia on Jews never to become rishayim, like Achaz tried to do, then his violation is lo tirtzach. Because atem dvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem, our dvekus in God is chayim. That's what brings about life. Torah is dvekus. Dvekus is life. Rishus is to cut off life itself. And the key of keys is teaching Torah to children. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Reish Lakish, Amalame ben chaver Torah. If you teach your friend's son Torah, Malol avakosuv kilu aso, it's as if you created him, which we derive from Avram Avinu asanefesh sher asu b'charon. Teaching Torah is creating a person on a spiritual level. Hamalamed, God is called Hamalamed Torah Li Amo Yisrael. If we can teach Torah and pass it on, then basically that's called spiritual procreation. That means giving life to the world. If on the other hand we're guilty of not giving the proper education to our children, if we're not passing on the tradition, the legacy of Torah, then basically we are violating Lo Tirtzach, because we are creating what we call the Rishayim Chas V'Shalom, who are afilu b'chayeim nikroim mesim. So we've created mesim. The Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch of the Shabbos that if a child, a Jewish child, is about to be taken away by a missionary, then we're allowed to violate the Shabbos because of pikuach nefesh. After all, the missionary is not trying to kill the child. On the contrary, the missionary wants to baptize the child. Until finally the child with its Yiddish couple become the cardinal or maybe the pope, I don't know. So where's the pikuach nefesh? But the answer is, v'shoyim b'chayim nikroim mason. What's at stake here in the spiritual well-being of the child is his life itself. And therefore, the Tosefta in Horiel says, minayin shekol hashana, kol hashana perekecha l'chavero. If I teach even one parak of Torah, is malal avakosav kilu yotzro v'heviu le'olam, and the Torah considers as if I brought him into the world. This is based on a parasha in Yirmiyahu Navi. And teaching Torah is another form of piriv harivya. The Reb Shlomo Kluge writes in his Tshuvas that if a couple is childless, they should adopt the child and teach the child Torah. And that's, he says, that's a miktas kiyum of piri v'rivya. It's not the physical kiyum of procreation, but it's bringing life into the world. So the Torah says here at the beginning of Parashas Nitzavim that one of the facets and focal points that we should focus our attention on, hayom means on Rosh Hashanah, is tapchem. which is keneged, if we're not careful about tapchem, then it's keneged lo tirtzach. And this brings us to the famous chiddush of the Avudraham, which is also in the Balaturim, and that is that Chodesh Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, is indicated in the pasuk here in Parshas Nitzavim, Umal Hashem Elokechas Levavcha, V'es Levav Zarecha. Levavcha, V'es Levav. Es is an Aleph, the first letter. Levavcha is a Lamed. V'es is a Vav. And Levav is a Lamed. And all this culminates with Zarecha, with your children. So therefore, when we think about Chodesh Elul from the perspective of this remez of the Avudraham, then it's Umal Hashem es Levavcha, that's a process of tshuva in which we cleanse ourselves, but more than that, Ves Levav Zarecha, and we have an impact on our children. And here he quotes the Shinova, the author of the Divrei Yechezkel, who says that L'chora it doesn't make any sense, Umal Hashem es Elkech es Levavcha. That means Levavcha is addressing every member of Klal Yisrael. So why do you have to add a Levav Zarecha? That whole phrase, as Levav Zarecha, seems to be superfluous. And he answers, and if you're following the text, it's now the last column, all the way on top of the third column on page 2. He says, Ach, this is his breakthrough. Hachatoim shel ha'odom mevi'im pgam gam al zaro. A man's sins will have an impact on his children. And therefore, what does it mean when the Torah says, Umal Hashem es Levavcha v'es Levav Zarecha? It means you as a parent have to do tshuva. And then if you do tshuva, says the Shinova, that's going to remove a pgam of Zarecha. Again, Berzon here would make the following qualification. Maybe the Rebbe would get angry at me, I don't know. And make sure it's not too late. Because it's true that your tshuva can have an impact on your children, but only up to a certain point. When you yourself as a father or a woman as a mother can have an impact on the child. When the child becomes an adult, that child is totally autonomous and he's impervious to any influence of the parents. So unless I understand this as some sort of Kabbalistic, spooky kind of thing, what it really means is that a parent has to have an impact on the children. And it's amazing that the Hasidic Rebbes, they quote the Gera Hasidim, are of the opinion that if you ask yourself, why is it that children that were raised in a religious environment, that they were sent to Chadarim, and they were Tashbar, and they learned Torah, and yet later on in life, we find that some of them, unfortunately, are porek ol, they have bad midos, and they, I guess we'd say today, go off to derech. And the Hasidim say that the reason for that is because of the sins of the parents. The parents might be feeding their children, specifically, by the way, the sin of, how shall I say it in English, of illegitimately acquired possessions or finances. That's what the Hasidim single out. That if you cheat in business, Chas V'Shalom, and scandalous, and you misrepresent the products that you sell, and you violate Gezel, and Lo Sonu Isha Samito, and Onos Dvarim, Onos and Mamon, those kinds of sins are going to have the most impact in a negative sense on the children. But the bottom line is that what we're seeing here in the Divrei Yechezkel is that V'es Levav Zarecha, that we have to keep our focus here when we talk about Elul, not just on Levavcha, but Levav Zarecha, and it's all one, he says, because if we can achieve Es Levavcha, then we can achieve Es Levav Zarecha. Now, you may have noticed that the title of this essay is Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua is one of the great Tanoim, and he found an amazing drasha in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So let's try to get to that. And this will connect us between Parshas Nitzavim and Parshas Vayelech. There aren't too many mitzvahs in Parshas Vayelech. There aren't too many psukim in Parshas Vayelech. But one mitzvah, which took place once every 7 years at the time of Shemitah, was the mitzvah of Hakel. And once again, the Torah goes out of its way to single out Taf. Just like we see here at the beginning of Nitzavim, it says Tafem. The word Taf appears a second time in the Siamese twin parsha here of Vayelech, in the parsha of Hakel. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga is going to tell us a story that's going to shed a light on this word Taf, and specifically the mitzvah to bring the children along with their parents for the mitzvah of Hakel, the public reading of the Torah. Rashi says in Parashas Hakel, Ha'anoshim lilmod, ha'anoshim lishmo vataf. Why do we bring the children? Losei schar lemivieihem. And Rashi is standing on the shoulders of a sugya, a story told by the Gemara in Chagiga at the very beginning. Torah Rabbanan, Ma'isav, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Broker, Rabbi Lozman, and Chas, Mishalchu, Lahakpil, Pnei Rabbi Yeshua, Bepekiyin. So the Talmidim, the great Tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozman, are going to visit the great Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua. Amar lahem, Ma chidush hoyev beis hamedrash hayom. So the Rebbe wants to evoke a response to his Talmidim. Tell me what you learned today. And the Talmidim throw the ball back into the Rebbe's court. Then they say to him, "Anu minayech anu shosu. We want to hear. We came to drink from the Rebbe, from the waters of the Rebbe's." And he said to them, "Amar lahem, I'm going to tell you something from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah." And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah taught us today Haggadah in Parshas Hakel. And what was his drasha in Parshas Hakel? Is Hataf Lamaba Liten Schar Lamivehem. And after quoting this drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua adds the following accolade. Amar lahem, he tells his Talmidim, Margolis Tova Hoysa B'yedchem. This is a Margolis Tova. And be very careful not to lose it. It's a very wealthy and precious, but yet fragile gift, or shall we say, stone, expensive stone. And this Maimar is also quoted in the Mechilta with one addition. And this you'll see on page 3 of the essay. And In this case, it says that Kvar Shavsu Talmidim Yavne. Okay, so the Talmidim got together to study Torah in Yavne. And when the Talmidim came, Rabbi Yoshua said to them, "You know what? I want to tell you something I heard from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Slightly different version from the one that we saw in the Gemara in Chagiga." And the Gemara says that at first he quizzed the Talmidim, Rabbi Yeshua, and he asked them, "Well, what did you hear from Elazar ben Azariah?" He was the one who taught them at that particular time. That was what's called Shabbos Shalmi. And apparently, they didn't have an answer. They couldn't tell a chidush in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Yeshua takes over, and he quotes the pasuk of Tapchem, and he says the following. Atem nitzavim ayom kuchem tafchem. What is the taf doing there? They're very young children. V'chi taf hayodeh lahovin bein tov ulara. You know, they don't have freedom of choice at that young age. And therefore the whole discussion in Parashas Nitzavim about who does good and who the opposite seems to be irrelevant to the taf. How could all the schar that Hashem promises here in the parasha be relevant to the taf? They don't even have freedom of choice. But rather, litein schar lemivieihem, that Hashem is looking for an opportunity to bestow rewards on those who bring the taf, and therefore the taf are singled out over here. And hareini kiben shivim shana, This is something typical of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He says, I'm like 70 years old. Lo zachisi l'davar zeh bilti hayom. Like he's so thrilled about this statement. Ashrecha. Avram Avinu shalos ben Azar yotzim michal atzecha. Ein ador yosim shablos ben Azar yashori betocha. In other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshins about the taf. We saw it in Parshas Vayelech, they have to be brought for Hakel. We see it in Parshas Nitzavim, they're brought together for the bris. And all this is Litein Schar L'Mevi'ehem. And Rabbi Yeshua gives it such an accolade that we don't have a Dar Yosam because we have someone as great as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says, Ariani Kiven Shivim Shana. So why is this called a Margolis Tova? And the answer is, Rabbi Yeshua singles out his espilus, his Margolis Tova, because he wants to show you that there's something here that represents the key of keys for the entire future of Klal Yisrael, and something that's a Margolis, which is a very fragile object that you can't drop it, because if you drop it, it might get scratched and lose its value. Be careful, hold it like fragile material very carefully. And this is what chinuch, this is what education is all about. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the Mishnah in Avos testifies about his student Rabbi Yeshua, the same Rabbi Yeshua, Ashrei Yoladeto, because Yerushalmi says that when Rabbi Yeshua was a baby, his mother used to bring him in the Arisa, in the carriage, to the Beis HaKnesses so he should hear Torah. We don't appreciate how words of Torah can impact on the young children that seem to be too young to even appreciate those Torah, that Torah. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Esmi Yored Deav, Esmi Yovin Shmua. He speaks about the fact that his mother, when he was very young, brought him to hear the Torah in the Beis Medrash, and that's why Yovin Shmua, Vayore Deav. And you might ask the question, what purpose, what goal and achievement can you gain to hear the Retora Beis HaKnesses when you're a nursing baby, to the extent to which the Tanoim said about Rabbi Yeshua, Ashrei Yoladeto, how fortunate is he because he had a mother who brought him to the Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Yeshua himself probably was perplexed that this experience of being brought as such a young tot would have such an impact on his life. He looked to see in the Torah, maybe he could find some sort of basis for the fact that Torah, even for a young child who's mutal barisa, could have such an impact. And this is why he got so excited about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's drasha. We have to bring the taf. And the taf have to come to hear the hakel. And they have to hear the Torah. So what does it mean? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Litein schar l'miveihem. Again, the taf themselves, they don't deserve any schar because they don't have freedom of choice. Now, if you're following the text, we're on the left column, page 3 on top. He says, the children didn't do any effort, they didn't do any ishtadlus, they came and they were listening to Torah. But the answer is their parents brought them. This is the essence of what it means to educate the child. And the schar that we get as parents and as grandparents and as teachers, as rebbeim, is because we take that extra effort. And we do it because we are, in a sense, training ourselves to educate our children. And he says the following, the afal gavdi ena mevidim, even though the children certainly don't understand the Torah, they're too young for that, yesh toeles gedol ataf, bishmias kol Torah, kedei lekadish es gufar. The very words of the Torah, as they penetrate through the ears of the child, sanctify the body of the child. And we see this in the case of Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore, magia schar lahoreim, why do the parents deserve such schar? Because they are exposing their children to the great sanctifying influence and impact of hearing Divrei Torah. Rabbi Hosseinu, this is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who said, Hataf lama litein schar l'mivieihem, ulai, shenosnim tam l'katnei ktanim, very, very young children, she'enam avinim dover, they don't understand anything. But nevertheless, they are also included on the taf, they also somehow are impacted and sanctified, uplifted by the hearing of the Torah. And who's going to get the schar for that? Well, not the child himself. This is what the mother of Yehoshua did. She understood that the kol Torah and the Shmias HaKol will impact on her young tat, her young child. And this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshan when he said, "Litein schar l'mevi'eihem." And about this drasha, Rabbi Yehoshua says, "Margolis tova ha'isa b'yedchem." But we have to be very careful with this. It's very fragile. It's very easy to let it slip through our fingers. Our children go out and they're influenced by so many different influences. And at this point, I would like to add a few words about the kulchem, because I see that the clock is moving a little bit too fast for my own taste. So I and as I told you at the outset, I have a number of different things that I want to share with you. If you'll open up to Parshas Nitzavim in the same parak that we've been studying, but a little bit further on, Chavtes Pasuk Yud Ches, V'haya Bishma Bisham Oes Divrei Ha'ola Azos. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is castigating with very harsh tochacha those who listen to the bris, and they say his barak b'levav alomo shalom yeli. I don't have to worry about this bris and all its terrible repercussions if I violate the bris. Ki b'shrirus libe eilech. What does it mean, b'shrirus libe eilech? So Rashi says shrirus libe eilech means Masha libi rotza lasos, or roa lasos, meaning a human being doesn't want to be committed to the bris. He wants to say, I'm autonomous, I can come up with my own rules and regulations. The Ramban embellishes this a little further, and he says that who is this, what's the profile of this individual who declares, Shalom yeli ki b'shrirus libi eilech? Says the Ramban, I'm outside the impact and the commitment of this shmur. I'll make the decision. I'll do what I want. I don't have to be committed. I can remove myself from Klal Yisrael. Says the Pasuk Lo Yova Hashem Shloach Lo. Says Ramban Bavur Sheinenu Mekabel Oloso L'Shloach Lo. Avayasu olav apo, avayeshan olav apo, kemen shebob b'bris lufnei ha'am yachanim klali. So the Ramban basically says that there's no individual question here. You know, there's somebody who wrote a book, maybe you know about him. He was very popular in Torah in Motion. He wrote a book called Voluntary Covenant. Okay, he happens to be a Tyre Yid. I can't tell you exactly what his status is in terms of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikra, but that's something else. And he makes a statement that joining the covenant is a matter of choice. So surely, B'shrirus libi eilech, as the Ramban says, Eini mekabel olayas ha'shvua, says the Ramban, no. He is an individual member of a guf of kulchem, which is part of Klal Yisrael. He will suffer the consequences against his will, Yoshan olav apo. He is a considered Bob Ibris. He's together with a goof, a metaphysical entity called Klal Yisrael, a collective entity that spans all generations. And the one who absolutely embellishes this is the Ksav v'Kabbalah, who writes that this pasuk is addressing an ish, a person, asher, makoro, mushchas, b'yisodos, Ubepinosh and Ikrios HaTorah. The problem with this person is that he is completely corrupt as far as the basic elements and the tenets of our faith. And he says that this person declares, when he hears the Olah Asos, he hears the Shvua and the covenant, he says, Kol Dikduke Habris Prati HaMitzvus Min Yonim Shonim. He says the following. He says, Ktsasam, some of the elements in the bris, is mivu orim, they are explainable, they are rational, betamam. But ktsasam, aimless, seichel, mavo behem. But my logical mind cannot grasp some of them. Why? Because because I can't understand them. You know, but that's because you're fallible and you're a mosquito. You know, you're nothing. You have no knowledge. So therefore, he says, this is the way the Ksava Kabbalah, the great German rabbi, he formulates the declaration of Beshrirus Libi Eilut. He says, Hine be'emes, harbe mitzvus yesh asher ani novoch b'hem. There are many mitzvus that I'm completely confused about them. Libi nokfo b'avanosom, I don't understand them. V'ani b'inyonim, with regard to choosing mitzvos, he says, Pam, sometimes as orer l'kiyumam, sometimes I'll be in the mood to fulfill them. Upam echtal, and other times I'm just not up to it. I'm not in the mood. And basically, I'm going to pick and choose. He says, "Kol zelios dvarim sheinasechem achayvam, ein biyecholti lasigam." I can't understand them. They're beyond my rational comprehension. Lochem lo elech. I'm not going to follow. I'm not committed. El bameh. What I understand, umesha daiti gozeres she emes dovar betamo ubazer shalom li, because I don't have any conscience here if I violate the Torah, because I'm going to violate that part of the Torah they don't like. And Rabosai, this is something that unfortunately and tragically has become so typical of many of our, how should I say, assimilated Jews, who think, you know, I'm going to pick and choose. What I don't understand, well, that was for maybe 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, maybe it was relevant, but I don't want it. And it's not relevant to me, and I'm not bound by any commitment. And that's where the person is mushchas b'yisodei Torah. Because what he doesn't realize is the word kulchem at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. And this bris is a covenant that commits every single Jew for all of time. And here I want to share with you the insight of one of the contemporary rabbanim in America on Hakel, and he quotes the Marsha. The Marsha has a very fascinating question in Brachos Daf Yud that could shed a new light on Rosh Hashanah and certainly on the mitzvah of Hakel. The Gemara in Brachos says, "Hakol v'dei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim." In other words, when it comes to yira shamayim, that's in the hands of man, it's not in the hands of God. That's freedom of choice. That's our responsibility. So the Marsha asks the following question. He says, "Lo yia adam royalis paul vakish in yonim ruchnim." None of our tefillos, none of our bakoshos, should be relevant. Should be related to the spiritual realm. Ki ein hadavar toli ela bo ubechirasa. He says, if a man is praying for spiritual success, and there's so many tefillos of ours where we ask Hashem for that, he seems, says the Marsha, to have overstepped his bounds, because everything's bidei shamayim. You can pray for anything. Chutz mi yira shamayim, but yira shamayim is up to you. The im yispalel hu al kach, says the Marsha, oshi sheritzono sheyancho so Hashem yisbarach. He's asking God to guide him, but Magolit said it as if to say, God, you know, you put me in the right situation, such that I can succeed in all the spiritual challenges. I don't have to do much. Don't put me out there in the war zone. You know, where I have to fight the Yetzirah head on. I don't need those confrontations. Spare me that. Says the Marsha, "Hareze nogedes hanhaga." This undermines the whole anhaga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Bnei Mata, that you are called upon to face the challenges yourself. Yira Shemayim is in your hands, and your hands only, exclusively, and that's the tachlis of the Bria. So the Marsha gives the following answer. Says the Marsha, "Ze gufa she'adam ispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu." If he's asking Hashem to help him in spiritual matters, he gufa ochacha shukvar b'chlal elu shebochur b'tov. He's already aligned himself with that group of those who choose good. Ki'ilu loya bochur b'tov. If he wasn't interested in choosing good, loya vakish me Hashem, he wouldn't ask from Hashem, like in David Hashem Ori, in so many different ways, we ask Hashem to strengthen us in spirituality. Ubehechrech, by the very fact that he utters these prayers and supplications on his lips, shezeh adam makir, ma'uchu vasol bolomo, he recognizes why he was placed here. Ukvar bachar b'dayto lasos, kimitzuva olav, umevakesh me'ashem yisparach azraso. Now, it's God clear the way and make it such that you know, habola sayah messiah, also give you more strength. Ki hein emes. Shuhukvar birer es darko. So that he deserves all the reward because he chose his derech. There were two paths in front of him. Yitzro adayin lo hishlam imo. However, he has the yitzar within him, is not a happy camper. Why did he choose the right path? So zakuku liezra shamayim kedei lizgaber olav. He needs the help of Hashem to overcome the yitzar hara. And this is what our prayers are in Rosh Hashanah. We say to Hashem, yes, we want to do good. We want to choose the right path. We are committed to machovas chovaso bolama. But we have a yetzer hara within us. 24/7, he tries to trip us up. Upagagon done, such a case, achashikvar bachar b'tov, since we've already made that commitment to do good, we are part of the covenant, we want to accept the entire covenant, we are part of Klal Yisrael, kulchem hayom, therefore, ro'ui, we ask Hashem that we be, that it be appropriate, shiyisayo, be odo, that Hashem with His strength should give a certain shot of power, so to speak, of energy in each and every one of us, min hashamayim, to help us overcome the influence of the Yetzer Hara. And that's what Chazal mean when they say Abol Atayr Misayin Osa. So Rabosa, I want to say that this Yisod, which I'm quoting now, B'Shem Omer, in the name of Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes in Borough Park in Brooklyn, Shlita, reminds me so much of what my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik said about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam says, is the day of Hirur Tshuva. And Hirur Tshuva means that we really don't have Vidui at all. What we have instead of Vidui is we have Hirur Tshuva. Now, what is Hirur Tshuva? Hirur Tshuva means, like they once asked the Kotzker Rebbe, how far is it from Mizrach Mimarav? Because, you know, the Pasuk says that Mizrach is close to Hashem and Mimarav. He says it's not far. All you have to do is turn in the right direction. That's what Hirur Tshuva is all about. Hirur Tshuva means, I am totally committed on this day of Rosh Hashanah to go down the right path, to do Tov. And finally, the last thing I wanted to add today, which comes from Rabbi Yisachar Meir. He was one of the great Rabbanim down south, here in Eretz Yisrael, in a place called Azata. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. And he says, the Gemara tells us, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imru Lefarei Malchus Zichronos Shofros, Malchus Kedei Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. And he says the following. It's very strange. The king is asking that we coronate him as king. And if he's king, then by his essence, he is the king. And it means that any kind of hamlacha was already achieved. So what does it mean, kidei shetam lichuni aleichem? And secondly, he says, the king presides over the malchus shamayim up in heaven, he presides over the heavenly courts of the malachi ashores. He says, einon yicholim lahamloch aleinu as Habore Olam, we have no concept of what Malchus Shamayim is. If the essence of Rosh Hashanah is Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, we are light years away from Malchus Shamayim. We have no, you know, it's like describing Kola to a blind person. How am I supposed to know what Malchus Shamayim is? And on a daily basis, we are called upon to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recite Kriyat Shema. How can we be makabel O Malchus Shamayim when we don't even know what Malchus Shamayim is like? We don't have a clue. We don't have any connection to that world. Comes along Rabbi Yisachar Meir, and he says that's the great chesed, the great essence, and the power of Rosh Hashanah. Then on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll read his language. He says, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Shel Hanhaga Shel Malchus Bebriya. That Hashem, somehow, again, this is not something that we see with the naked eye, but in a spiritual world, He creates, He energizes Malchus Shamayim in the Bria. There's an Hanhaga of Malchus Shamayim. There's a Gilui, a revelation of Malchus Shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosei L'chol Yehudi Efshagut Lakir Malchusa. And this is the Rosh Hashanah that's going to give us the power and the energy to be Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim the entire year. The whole year starts with Rosh Hashanah. The Kabbalah O Malchus Shamayim is projected from Rosh Hashanah for the entire year. Because on this day, we have a glimpse and a clue, because Hashem reveals it, of Malchus Shamayim. And now Rabbi Yisachar Meir does exactly what I was hoping he would do, and connect Rosh Hashanah with the creation of the world, which is that was the essay that we began today with, Rabosai. Yom Haras Olam, Zayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, that Hashem created the universe, the entire existence and reality with Asar Ma'amar Shanivru Olam, and on this day of Rosh Hashanah, there's a recreation of the world through Tshuva. And what it means is that every Jew, insofar as he's connected to the lifeblood of the Jewish community, of the Jewish people as an entity of Knesset Yisrael, he has the possibility on this day of getting a picture, a glimpse of the midah of Matlan Hag of Malchus Shamayim Hashem Molach Hashem Yimloch. And as soon as that is revealed to us, we have the ability to recognize Malchus, to be Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim, and to justify another year of existence for the entire reality, the entire world. And that's the Kulchem, meaning Kulchem, when we connect ourselves to Klal Yisrael, we receive this amazing gift, this amazing Gilui, which should scare us, because again, you know, we hear the shofar, and after we hear the shofar awakens in us that feeling of Malchus Shamayim, of Kolam Yechradu, of Yerushalayim. We're surrounded, we are close with an encounter with Hashem, with the King of Kings. Now we're ready to be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now that the shofar has awakened us, we can go ahead and recite Malchios. And Malchios means that we declare, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Melech, we recognize you as the Melech, we accept you as the Melech, we are committed, this is our derech in life. We want to follow in your commands, in your will, and fulfill your will. And if Chas V'Sholom, Klal Yisrael would not be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim on Rosh Hashanah, then the entire Bria, the whole creation, becomes meaningless. So that's why, as the Rambam points out in Hilchos Tshuva, everything depends upon us. And we have to do tshuva, and on this first day of tshuva, which we call the Rosh Hashanah of Hiru Tshuva, which means we set our goals straight, we set our commitment straight, we now have been Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim, we're ready now for the 10 groups of the Jewish people to unite together and integrate to form the Aseret Ma'amar Shanivru Ba'olam, the Aseret HaDibros, and to reset the button, as we called it, and start from the beginning with a pure world as Hashem created it, with the Asar Mamaros, without all the corruptions and all the pollutions. And that's going to give this world a chidush bria that's going to justify the continued existence. So Yiratzah may be His will, that on this Rosh Hashanah, we accept upon ourselves a commitment, a Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, that's going to project us through the entire Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And of all things, we have to focus on Tapchem. And if we can influence our children in every way to accept our legacy and to be uplifted by the Torah, then Emir Hashem, through that Kabbalah, O Malchus Shamayim, that commitment, Hashem will see that we are ready for this Kabbalah and we are ready to recreate the world. We are ready to justify its continued existence. It should be a pure world, a new world of Asar Mamaros, and will be Zochem Yitzhak Hashem for Hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this Rosh Hashanah Bo'olenu L'tovo Atem Nitzovim Hayom Kulchem Kein Yiratzon. Amen.